Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, August 19th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, are you sure? It's...
Now, I almost called you Butch, but...
Hey, Dave. I go by many names, I'm afraid, particularly at home. Dave would be the nicest of them. Happy hump day, Melody.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, I have certainly called Butch different names too, but we're not going to go there today. And I just want to thank each and every listener for joining us and spending the hour with us today. A lot of news to cover. We have Wendy Wilson joining us for the first segment of the program today, but let's go ahead and talk a little bit about gold and the markets first. Now, we had another big day. Unfortunately, it was to the downside with gold. You know, we have it down a little over 3%, $1,939. All right, it's still $1,939. We're going to see these types of days. So we have a stronger dollar today. We've had some auctions, and, you know, that's what I equate it to. We'll talk, Dave will touch on that when we come back from the break. Gold today, again, down 61 at 1,939. Silver, what's interesting about silver is usually when you have gold down 3%, you're going to have silver down 6%. That's just the way it is, but silver is only down 3% too, a little over 3.5%. So it was a good day for silver. It was down 98 cents, but still at $26.77. Platinum was down 3% also. Now, you know, I'm no conspiracy person, and it sure is a coincidence that they're all down 3%. I'm just saying. Platinum down 3%, $30 at $932. Palladium was down 49 at $2,191. USDX today up 0.69 at 92.99. So they tried to bring it back, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to try and stem the bleeding of the dollar as it continues to go make lower lows. They're going to try to bring it back a little bit. You're going to see a reflection in the gold prices for now, because we don't have any panic or anything in the markets. People are happy. People are refocused on the election and everything else. So, but give it time. So just a little bit of knee-jerk reaction to the price in the dollar today. Crude oil was down 12 cents, 42.77. Paper markets today, the Dow was down 85 points, 27,692. The NASDAQ was down 64, 11,146. The S&P was down 14 to 3,374. I didn't have a chance to see what the lows of the day were on any of the paper markets, but so I don't know if they were significantly worse or if they, I think they were in positive territory earlier today, but.
Yes, they were.
Were they? So European and Asian markets, again, flat. None of them are over 1%. Germany was up the most at 0.75%. And that's all she wrote for the day. So let's go ahead and bring Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs to the program. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hi, Dave.
Hi there.
Thought we'd talk about the gender prescription drug doses for a little bit, you know, because we live in the age of information. Technology has really exploded. And lots of areas of science and education and also the economic markets, even your news and medicine has exploded. And the Bible talks about this age of explosion of information in the book of Daniel. That's chapter 12. And it says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even unto the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Well, that's important because, you know, knowledge will be increased, but is the knowledge you're getting the truth? We hear about fake news, and, you know, this is supposedly giving people knowledge, but is it truthful knowledge? There's a big difference there. So the baby boomers remember traditional integrity of journalism, where all the information supposedly was reported, embedded in research, but that's not what we're seeing today, is it? So everywhere you look these days, you know, you got inquiries, one has to exercise really wisdom and discernment when you check the integrity of all your information. And assumptions can harm people. Now, here's an August 2020 report from the University of California. They released some very interesting information on the medical community's customary way of determining your drug doses. So how many of us kind of blindly trusted medicine and our physicians to carefully, you know that a new drug, a new therapy is, you know, good for you, it's safe? How many just went along with, okay, it was in the journal article, so it must be okay? But most of us assume the drug research was valid, and doctors also trusted in it because it got into their medical journals, it got published, and only research that was supposed to be truthful and vetted got published. So, assumptions are like dominoes. They track on down the line, and they eventually fall down and cause other things to fall. So here at the University of California, they're knocking over the first domino, exposing decades of clinical research not being complete, and more importantly, putting patients at risk. So they are reporting that when scientists test new drug therapies, they often use doses that are designed for men. Think about that for a second. All right. So men have more body mass, they have more muscle, they have more blood compared to women and children. Therefore, the doses for males is stronger that would be designed. You have to redesign them for females, but they're not doing that. That's the problem in these clinical trials. The male dose is used regardless of the test group. Think about it. That's scary.
Is that all of them?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You had the assumption these doses were supposedly, you know, here's a dose for females, here's a dose for males, here's a dose for children. They're actually supposed to do doses by weight for children, and in some cases, they attempt to do that, like with rabies vaccines. They'll do it for that. But here's a quote from the University of California. This also was published in the August 2020 Biology of Sex Differences, and it says women are more likely than men to suffer adverse side effects from medications because drug doses have historically been based on clinical trials conducted for men. That's not good. So you got this tumble down effect because the researchers are reporting that there's over 7,000 medical journal articles that were investigated, and they found evidence that there is what is described as, quote, drug dose gender gap. From their sampling of the drug trials, they found 86 medications which did get approved by the FDA to have a one-size-fits-all drug dose. And this included medications like antidepressants, cardiovascular meds, anti-seizure medicines, and analgesics, or your pain drugs. One size fits all. So this is bad, but here's a Professor Ivan Zucker at the University of Biology of California University. He said, when it comes to the prescribing drugs with a one-size-fits-all approach based on male-dominated clinical trials, it's not working, and women are getting the short end of the stick. End of quote.
Wow.
I know.
But what some of these medications,
I know,
wouldn't they respond to the situation alone, and it wouldn't matter whether you're male, female, weight?
No, it matters. Physiology matters.
True.
Believe you me, it matters. Yeah. Because see, there's difference in hormones. There's
True.
Difference in blood mass and body True. Mass. And just think of alcohol, for instance. Can
yes.
women drink the same amount of volume as men? Not
I
really.
I can.
Well,
I'm
well,
just kidding.
You and my wife, I'm afraid.
Well, I'm kidding.
Well, Elliot, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Melody can drink her weight in body alcohol
I'm
there.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Well,
uh-oh.
Normally, though, women, you know, two drinks maximum. Guys can have three drinks, you know, before you're considered intoxicated. So physiology is an area of medical science, and there is a clear difference between males and females. And I'm saying, did someone along this line make the assumption that a dose for men will work the same as doses for women? I think so. So whatever the reason is, it's not scientifically based what they determined, and it was a mistake. And it's going to go down in medicine's empirical history of an error, because the research that got published in the Journal of Biology and Sex Differences in August 2020 is saying this is a scandal. Here's what Professor Zucker says. He said, drug dose gender gap stems from a historic disregard for the fundamental biological differences between male and female bodies. So, huge mistake, huge. Here's a big difference. Some may, you know, kind of shrug their shoulders and say, well, who cares about the dose if it didn't kill the female patient? Well, the problem is that the study showed that females taking male doses had higher blood concentrations of the drugs, and it took them longer for the drug residues to leave their bodies once they discontinued the drug. So detoxing, they said, is slower when the females took drug doses that were meant for males. So long-term use of such drugs can put females at higher risks of adverse events and possibly increase their risk of mortality. Professor Zucker says this. In 90% of our cases, he said, women experienced worse side effects than the males, such as nausea, headaches, depression, cognitive deficits, seizures, hallucinations, agitation, and cardiac abnormalities. He says overall, women experience adverse drug reactions nearly twice as often as men. The neglect of females is widespread, even in cell and animal studies where the subjects have been predominantly male. End of quote. So, there's a significant blunder here. It started when women were excluded from clinical drug trials based on, in part on unfounded concerns regarding female hormone fluctuations, making them more difficult to study women. Remember in turn of the century, women were too hysterical. They called it hysterics. They were too emotional, too hormonal. And they would say women are prone to hysterics, so they excluded them from this part of science.
Again, that was one of the reasons, by the way, excuse me, Wendy, that was one of the reasons, by the way, that women didn't get the right to vote until 100 years ago.
Right.
Because men, who were the, quote, leaders, felt primarily that the hysteria that was innate in women were, you know, would detract from quality voting. It's bizarre.
Well, yeah, well, overall, it was kind of a gender issue there where, you know, women, their intellect wasn't quite right, you know. They couldn't reason like men could. And so kind of stems from the Garden of Eden where Eve kind of got, tricked by the serpent there. But basically, you know, that's the same thing where women, it took them a while to be able to drive, to get behind the wheel. They were worried about them driving. So it kind of makes you wonder about all the prescription drugs supposedly tailored for females now, doesn't it? The hormone replacement meds, for instance, any of those medications that are specifically for females. So the inclusion of females when they finally got into drug trials has increased, but it only increased, get this, starting in 2016. So drugs prior to that date are all tailored drug doses for men.
Wow.
So there are hundreds of drugs on the market that have not had their dose adjusted issues for females. They're just haven't been adjusted. They're kind of, you know, grandfathered. They're done. We're not doing that again. Dr. Zucker says, while the inclusion of females in drug trials has increased in recent years, many of these newer studies still fall or fail to analyze the data for sex differences. So he says we're getting better, but we're still not there yet. So according to this report, this was a report in the Independent News, they say more women die from prescription pain medications than men do. That's because they're designed for the men. And they referred to the deaths as accidental poisonings and not suicides. So they're getting doses too high and too toxic, and it's killing them. It's poisoning them. So it appears.
How do you address this when you go to the doctor?
Well, there's a good question, you know, because the doctors, you know, they're only making drugs in certain doses, you know, milligrams and stuff. So there's a good question. It really, doses should always be by body weight. That's what they shouldn't be cookie cutter. One dose fits all, you know. So it's sort of like if you went, let's say you went to the store to buy a bathing suit and they only had one size, El Grande, right? How's that going to fit you? Not very well. Is it? It probably float away while you're in the water. So the same thing here with the medicines. It's not going to fit women very well. So it appears that, you know, pain drugs are kind of killing more middle-aged patients, females, than any other medications out there. And it's not suicidal, they're saying. It's just, you know, they took the recommend, they followed the directions, they followed the prescription, their doctor's advice, and they died from taking the drug. So we have to keep in mind that information, you really have to confirm stuff more than ever. It's like having a second job, really weeding through everything. But we have to do it. We have to do our own research, especially on therapeutics and supplements, vaccines, the whole thing. So knowledge, to be powerful, it has to be truthful. It does. So always investigate the health therapies recommended to you, and be aware that when you mix drugs with, let's say, supplements and herbs, that may not work out very well for you. If you want more information, maybe you need to detoxify your system of drug residues, or maybe you want to support your organs and your immune system, or strengthen your heart. There's ways to do that, and ways to do it safely, as safely as possible. So the folks at Apothecarios, we have a catalog we can send, and you can kind of flip through. Most people get a catalog, Melanie, and then they got questions. So the toll-free number, if you want a catalog, is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. We do have a website, thepowerherbs.com. Also, I want to mention, we're moving, reminding people we're moving.
Yay.
We're moving to a bigger place. Oh, my word. And I'm struggling with the phone company, and I hear this is common. So we place our moving, porting our number order like 6 weeks ago, and they still haven't fulfilled it yet. So we don't know what's going on with them. So hopefully we'll have a number that works, but you may get our call center for a while until we get it all worked out. So anyway.
That's all because of COVID, right?
I don't. I think people are using that as an excuse not to work.
I think so, too. I'm going to take a break. So, no. Thank you, Wendy. You've got some great information. And
sure.
I wanted to ask you, well, I'll ask you off the air, but thanks again. You always invaluable information. Give us your phone number one more time.
866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Have a great
Bye-bye.
Day.
Bye.
And we'll be back in just a few short minutes. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. It's 1-800-375-4188. Yeah, the fires are exploding again across the Bay Area and Napa Valley, and you know, San Francisco is blanketed, and you know, it's they're having another tough time out there with the you know, regardless of, you know, what they're doing to the state, it's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. And so I hope it is not as bad as it has been in past years. But, Dave, it just seems like they're seeing just way too much of those fires, and being started by lightning because it's just so dry out there across the record high temperatures. What happened to the Midwest last week? I mean, it's in Cedar Rapids. I mean, with the winds, 100 and 125 mile an hour winds out of nowhere.
Yeah, category two hurricane level winds.
They just appear.
1,500 miles inland.
Yeah. I mean, pretty incredible stuff, you know, that's going on. So just be safe out there. Be prepared, because these storms come in all kinds of forms. And the one that we talk about every day is the financial storm. And that's a storm that is coming our way. And you have to be prepared, because we never know when it's going to strike or who it's going to affect, or if it's going to affect everybody in a certain area. So be careful and get the one product that we know has been the real safe haven. I hear all this stuff, oh, the dollar is a safe haven, oh, Bitcoin's a safe, cryptocurrency, it's all hogwash. How do you like that professional term there, Dave?
Well, I prefer horse hockey.
Okay.
That was one of my favorite lines from Colonel Potter in the old MASH series.
Uh-huh. So that's funny, though. But so anyway, it's here. There's a lot of folks out there, a lot of investors who, you know, they doubt that these gains are going to hold. We keep seeing these all-time highs. And, you know, this data from the Company Institute show equity funds continue to see outflows, and bond funds and gold funds continues to see inflows. For the week ending August 5th, the last week for which data was available, investors had pulled over $20 billion out of equities and put over $27 billion into bonds. Oh, that's a nice safe haven, isn't it? The biggest bubble in the history of the world. And that's amazing. According to the World Gold Council, gold-backed ETFs and similar products recorded their eighth straight month of positive flows in July, adding 166 tons, equivalent to $9.7 billion or 4.1% of all assets under management. Global holdings of gold again reached a new all-time high, over 3,700 tons, leaving total assets around the world at $239 billion. And supposedly, out of that 239, 123 are here in the States. Sounds like a lot of gold, Dave. And but the only gold I care about is the ones that our customers get, and they can get into their hands and get protected. But these are all signs that show more inflows into gold. People are heading into gold. The big money's heading into gold. The smart money's heading into gold. And then you have day traders out there who are still playing the stock market and buying cryptocurrencies because they don't think anything is going to ever reverse. And they're the ones that will get hit the hardest, Dave.
They're the ones that are playing with fire. Unfortunately, not just going to burn themselves, but they take a lot of others down with them. Witting and unwitting participants. What else? Well, we know that equity funds have seen net outflows in every month this year, and although they have increased the last few months as stock prices have gone up, but outflows in late March, when the market crashed, were $25.6 billion. But the outflows rose, almost doubling the $45-plus billion in June, and almost $77 billion, three times the amount of March in July. Money market funds, which are essentially savings accounts, have also been stubbornly high this year, despite the booming gold and equity markets. Investors have parked at least $4.5 trillion of cash in money markets since April, the end of April. We have a much better idea for where investors can park their cash. Here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading, gold, silver. The money market increase, money market fund increase, about 50%, $1.5 trillion more than what was held last year at this time. Crazy stuff. The guy Patrick Leary, who's the chief market strategist at InCapital, said the S&P 500 has been impressive and has created a lot of wealth. But I'm not sure that reflects the overall health of the economy. We'll take that one step further. We are sure it doesn't reflect the overall health of the economy. He continued by saying the rally has more to do with asset inflation, which is fueled by all the Fed-induced liquidity and all the other continued support in the economy, as well as a weakening dollar. Melody.
Well, you know, the Fed released their minutes from last month, and the Federal Open Market Committee again expressed their concern over the future of the economy, saying that, you know, this pandemic is going to stunt growth, and it's going to hurt the financial system. At the July 28-29 session, the Federal Reserve's policy-making arm voted to keep short-term interest rates at near zero. We know this. I don't know if there's anything in there much about that wasn't any that was a shock or anything, was there, Dave? I mean,
well, some of it was certainly a surprise given the turnaround in the U.S. equity markets after its release, you know, but. They continue to say they're going to hold the overnight borrowing rate, the range is 0 to 0.25, until they're confident the economy has weathered recent events. And here again, it was on track to achieve the committee's maximum employment and price stability goals, which the latter of which particularly has become a moving target. And again, it is kind of surprising how the market reacted, given that it knows the Fed just they repeated that they're expecting positive growth in the this quarter.
Good luck with that.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. And, you know, they continue talking about risks to the financial system. That's nothing new as well. But they did talk about a more adverse scenario about the future and express concern about our national debt, which is now, by the way, $26.6 trillion. So it's a good question you ask, Melody, because I think the market was looking for a little bit more forward guidance or confirmation that more forward guidance would be coming at their meeting next month, and it didn't. So I guess the short answer to your question is no, there really wasn't much else useful information. Oh, so sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right. Hey, but you know what? $27 trillion in debt, and $3 trillion of it or more is just since March of this year. I mean, it's staggering. And what do we have to look forward to? Just more of it. And you know, it's funny, since the convention, the Democratic convention started this week, I haven't heard much about the stimulus, the next stimulus. I haven't heard anybody wanting to discuss it or that they were going to get together. And, you know, I mean, we had President Trump's executive order extending it somewhat. So that was probably more of a gift to the Democrats.
Yeah, although...
Because it kept everybody quiet for so long now.
Barely a half dozen states have latched on to the unemployment extension. But I did read just before the program started today, Melody, that Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, did suggest just a little while ago that with Pelosi calling Dems back for a vote on the postal service funding on Saturday, that's an excellent opportunity to schedule another sit down to come to some agreement on stimulus 4.0. So it'll be interesting to see how she responds. I believe if it hasn't yet occurred, I believe she's scheduled to give a news conference later this afternoon. So she may in fact address that.
But it is. Well, I didn't think of it before that. But you know, President Trump's executive order was basically a gift to the Democrats because it was out in the news. Everybody got a little bit of some. Whether the states used it or not, you know, remains to be seen. But it's, you know, it was there if they wanted it. So anyway, so the plot thickens or sickens. I'm not sure.
Perhaps a little of both.
Maybe a little bit of both. You know, again, you bring this every week, Dave.
And God bless you. Absolutely.
And God bless you for bringing it every week. But mortgage apps, they're down. I said there was a certain sudden turnaround from the record low interest rates last week. There was a pullback in mortgage refinance demand. So that pulled total mortgage application volume down 3.3%. Just from the previous week, the average interest rate for the 30-year fixed-rate mortgages increased rather abruptly by 7 basis points. That is a lot, to 3.13% from 3.06. So positive economic data that was reported last week on retail sales, and I think that the driver of it all, the large U.S. Treasury auction, drove mortgage rates to their highest level in 2 weeks. So so it caused the refinance demand to drop 5%. So still higher than a year ago, but it's just some information, Dave.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Well, you know, housing in general, just a big driver of the economy. And excuse me one second. Well, I... excuse me.
Oh. Bless you.
Yeah,
bless
pardon
you.
Me, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. So, I have nothing else to add.
Shipping companies, the companies that move grounds or goods around the world are sounding cautiously optimistic that the worst of the global economic downturn is behind them. You have to feel a little optimistic whether that's true or not. It, you know, Copenhagen-based, yeah, you have to hope. I mean, if you ask anybody, well, are you optimistic that the global economic downturn is behind us? Oh, yeah. You know, they're not going to say, oh, no, not unless you're listening to this program. But anyway, the world's biggest shipping container carrier, Copenhagen-based Maersk, said today that volumes in the third quarter will be down in the mid-single digits after a year-over-year drop of about 15%. So they're still in the mid-single digits, but...
Yeah, you know, you raised an interesting point just a minute ago. I don't know that you intended to, but I think about consumer sentiment. I think the psychology of consumers, probably around the world, I'm sure it varies somewhat depending on the region of the world, but just here in the U.S., I suspect that because historically Americans were an optimistic or have been an optimistic lot of individuals. Mm-hmm. And I think that probably tends to overstate these monthly consumer sentiment numbers that we read from come out of the University of Michigan. And so I just say that as I don't know, sort of as a caveat, I guess. And we'll repeat that caveat when we talk about August numbers. That'll be out right around Labor Day, because if that optimism overstates, because I just think in terms of how we think, that when we're asked, you know, are you optimistic about the near-term future of the economy? Well, we want to be optimistic. I don't say this as a criticism. I just say this as a personal observation. And I think we tend to see the world as we like it to be, Melody, as opposed to how it is. Mm-hmm. And so I just wonder how that really affects. I wonder, I have to look at their website and see if there are any studies that link to that and the psychology of that may point to those numbers being overstated, just as the government's unemployment numbers are probably grossly understated. Now, there are different reasons for that, but...
Well, I think a lot of this, especially with consumer sentiment, and we're heading into a break, maybe I'll ask you when we get back, but please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Product is beginning to flow a little bit better. Silver Eagles are only about a week out, so not so bad there. And if you've been waiting for Silver Eagles, we've been sending out tracking numbers so you can get all excited about them arriving. So a lot of Silver Eagles have been sold. I'll have to bring the numbers to you tomorrow to see what the Mint has done so far this month. But even by having them shut back, it doesn't seem like they've, their allotments seem to be doing just fine. So that's a good thing. But remember, things happen and they change so very quickly. We can just be moving along business as usual and there's some little blurb and the next thing you know, it all changes. And remember, I do believe one day we will wake up to a whole new, different brand new world. Things will change overnight. You know, people talk about bank runs. Well, you know what? I don't know if we're going to have bank runs anymore. You know, because everything is so computerized with technology, and half the banks across this country, or most of them anyway, are shut down. You can't go in the lobby and deal with people unless you have an appointment. So to me, it's like banks are sort of already shut down. And what kind of run can you have if all they have to do is click off your computer? Shut down. I mean, banks and everything else are being hacked on a daily basis. So, I mean, but you don't hear about these things. This is the world that we live in today. So I don't want anybody to have the access to my funds or, have the possibility of seeing, a statement and seeing digits just disappear. And I would love it for a world to come back to where we could just hold our, where banks were sound and there were regulations and they did business legitimately and there was no corruption and interest rates, they paid a decent interest rate on my money so that people don't have to speculate and put all their money in the stock market just so they get some sort of a return. And that's a sad thing too. With inflation, we can't, people need a 7-8% return on their money just to get by. To me, that's high. And the higher it goes, the riskier it is. And so you end up losing everything just because you're looking, to have a big return. We're gamblers at heart. But you don't want to gamble with your hard-earned money. So you take those fiat dollars and you put it into some real money, like gold, like silver, and you sit back and you watch the world go by. So when we do wake up to that brand new world, you say, okay, what's next? So are you there, Dave? No, I guess he's not back yet. So shipping companies, we were talking about that heading into the... a break about Copenhagen-based Maersk. And today the volumes in the third quarter will be down in the mid-single digits after a year-over-year drop of about 15% in the second quarter. The CEO reiterated that the company's outlook for a U-shaped recovery, meaning that they would get back to 2019 volumes sometime in the early part of 2021. Well, I think they're going to be really disappointed. But remember, you know, we were in a recession in 2020 in February, so. But Maersk, hey, they transport about 15% of the world's seaborne freight. And they added a caveat to its outlook and reinstated profit guidance. Sure they will, just like what we were talking about prior to the program. So, anything else you want to say about that, Dave?
What were we talking about? I'm sorry to step away.
I was talking about the shipping companies, so.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
All right. The State Department is asking colleges and universities to divest from Chinese holdings of their endowments, warning schools to get ahead of potentially more onerous measures on holding the shares. I think this has been around for a little bit, so I don't know if there's more information that's come out on this. Or it's fairly recent, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, it's today.
Oh, okay.
I thought I heard this.
But
well,
the
maybe they mentioned that they were going to be asking. Yes. But yes, now the letter has been sent.
It has been sent. So the boards of U.S. university endowments would be prudent to divest from People's Republic of China firms, stocks, and the likely outcome that enhanced listing standards lead to a wholesale delisting of PRC firms from U.S. exchanges by the end of next year. So what is that telling us? Well, that's telling a lot. By the end of next year, you're going to see a whole bunch of delisting. I'm assuming they're kicking them out from the U.S. exchanges?
Yeah.
I don't know what...
That could be significant. I mean, foreign equities made up 14% of college endowments of greater than $1 billion as of last June. So, just in terms of, the impact there, not to mention just the overall impact of delisting, which I won't call it profound, but it's certainly not insignificant, particularly for pension funds.
We often talk about the unemployed and, how much savings they have to live off of. And, this changes from month to month, since I've been doing this year to year and so forth. You have $400, $500, $1,000 in case there was an emergency and in most families across this country. And now a large share of Americans who lost income during the coronavirus pandemic have little in savings, leaving them with a few options in a worst-case scenario. 38% of people who have lost a job or had their income reduced due to the pandemic couldn't last more than a month. I mean, that's couldn't last more than a month off of savings of any kind. Now, this is according to a bi-monthly survey that's published by Simply Wise, a technology company that helps people make Social Security decisions. More alarming still, about 1 in 5 people couldn't last more than 2 weeks. Close your window. Couldn't last more than 2 weeks off of their savings, such as an emergency stash or money earmarked for retirement that the company found. So these statistics are sobering, is a sober reminder that Americans are teetering. And, we can think about maybe an older person, but think about people with families and children and the elderly that's living alone and don't have any savings. And, it is a sober reminder that Americans are teetering on the edge of financial ruin. So at a time when millions of workers remain unemployed and we skip and the economy just limps along, it's not the stock market, Dave.
Well, 28 million people plus in this country were collecting unemployment benefits just 2 weeks ago. Since April, recipients have been getting the extra $600 a week from the federal government in addition to their state benefits, but the extra federal payments ended last month. Protections for renters and homeowners who are unable to pay their monthly rent or mortgages have either lapsed or about to, meaning eviction for those unable to meet their obligations is just around the corner. Without an extra $600 a week in unemployment aid, Americans have been getting just over $300 a week on average for the past several weeks. Some are receiving far less, as little as $5 a week, depending on their state's unemployment benefit formula. So the loss of the pandemic benefit is estimated to put 6 million people at risk of not being able to pay their bills this month. That's according to a separate survey from the company Morning Consult. As Melody mentioned, President Trump's executive order last weekend, I guess 2 weekends ago now, to provide an extra $300 a week in lost wages assistance has only been approved in 7 states. So that $400 intended benefit will just be 3 in the remaining 43 states. We'll see what happens there. Do you want to say anything else about that, Melody?
No. And it's interesting because, you know, we have a lot of day traders and so forth, and we talk about the difference between the stock market's not the economy, and there was a new Fed study that showed that bubbles actually develop when you have amateurs drive a market. Now, this is from the New York Fed. Finds that when amateurs drive a market, bubbles develop. This is a new study. And so what? You may respond, well, given the rising number of inexperienced retail traders who have taken to investing this year, the study's findings could have obvious implications for the current state of the U.S. financial markets. Researchers at the Fed designed an experiment featuring trained stock traders that cracks me up, and untrained students to see how they would respond to a controlled experiment in which both groups attempt to value assets. The researchers found three differences between the traders and the students. Traders do not generate the price bubbles observed in previous studies with students. Traders' aggregate private information was better, and traders show higher levels of strategic sophistication in the guessing game. I disagree with that, Dave, because the thing of it is, and I don't know the different percentages of who the traders are that they're using, but when you go to all of these big, you know, when you're talking about Goldman Sachs and all of those who truly, all these hedge funds and so forth that truly rule the markets, they all do the same thing. So I don't know how they can have a higher level of strategic sophistication, maybe compared to the students, but yet their levels of strategic sophistication the traders get from being told what to do. And if they go outside the box or think outside the box, they get canned. So, I don't know. I mean, that's just my observation, but I mean, that's... not sure what it... But it's true. Because everybody markets the same, you know, 60-40%. Everybody goes into these. You might have, you know, run after the same high risk. Everybody has a certain amount of this, a certain amount of that. Am I wrong?
Well, it's not a big point. In general, I take your point. I think it's probably too broad a generalization to say everyone is the same. Because there are some, and I would suggest they're smaller private firms as opposed to the big Wall Street ones, which I think are more cookie cutter in their approach. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, I think back to about, oh boy, it might be 10 years ago now. It was right, maybe before, right after. It wasn't right after, but right before then, maybe the Great Recession, where a big study came out comparing the results of a hypothetical, I think it's a $1 million investment made by a group of college students with the performances of an actual trading house, and found that with just about no exceptions, the students were not just as good, they were better than the trading houses at picking, now this is stocks, picking stocks to invest. So, you know, seeing these results, I mean, on the one hand, it's sort of, you know, what the researchers say they found, the differences that you mentioned are, I mean, they're intuitive. I guess you'd think that ought to be the case. But again, I see your point, and this study I just mentioned, this tabletop exercise a decade or so ago, seems to counter some of the results of this study. So it just... go ahead.
Well, I wanted to get to your levity as golden today. I don't know if we're going to have enough time.
No.
So why don't you bring that back on Friday?
That sounds good.
How about that? Because it's an interesting one.
We're out of time. Did you talk about, in my absence, the CEO pay?
No, I didn't.
We'll talk about that Friday, too, unless you hit it tomorrow.
All right. We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.